Good morning, family. Good morning. It's good to be here, but yeah, I'm sorry it is your loss. There's no way I can replace Ted. Sort of a little embarrassed this morning. I was like, I'm pretty sure Bible class starts at 9 and worship starts at 10. I've asked Ted. I'm not going to text him and ask him again. I'm going to look it online. So I go online and then I was like, oh, here, let me listen to last week's sermon. And so I press and I'm like, man, I have to go up against that. Teb's a great friend, and I was thinking, you know, earlier, as always, I've been coming, I guess, out here off and on for 25 years, since 1990-something, when Teb used to watch me and my brothers and bring us out here. And then I'm always, always nervous about preaching, because I see Mr. Likens out there, who was my biology teacher, and I feel like there's a test at the end of the sermon, you know, and I'm going to get some kind of grade. But it's great to be here today as we open God's Word and look at His message. I hope it's just a reminder of how much God loves us and that we're not alone in this race to Him. I really enjoyed the singing you know, this morning. And one of the songs we sang was Boundless Love. I have not sung that song at least in 7 or 8 years. It's been a long, long time since I heard that song and sing that song. But yet that song has special meaning for me. I love the words. I love how much God's loved me. But that was the song that me and Maria were, as she came down the aisle, we had congregational singing, and we had a lot of youth group people from all over Scotland, England, Wales, and Ireland, and several other countries singing that song as she came down and as we took our commitment. And so just hearing that song reminded me of the commitment that me and Maria made, how much, you know, we've been through and everything just in that brief second. And so today, as we open God's Word, I hope that what God's Word does for you is that we remember the commitment that we made to Him. Because life is good, isn't it? But at the same time, life can be hard and filled with bad and good things, both with joy and sorrow. But to stay faithful in a world that is filled with a lot of things that will make us stumble in our walk with the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw everything off that hinders the sins that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfect of our faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured on the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Several times in the Bible, our everyday life, like Christ, is described as a race. When describing the Christian life, it's related to a race, and our relationship with God is often described with walking. So this morning, I'm going to talk about running, the Christian life. And this evening, I'm going to talk about walking with the Lord in our Christian life. And how many of you like to run? How many of you run races? Okay. Okay. Well, I do not like to run races, but I run. My wife likes to run races. I do it to be healthy, and that's really all. But yesterday, and there is a race coming up, and several of you go to the Christian school. Next week, there's the Cougar Run, and apparently I'm going to be signed up for that. And my goal is just to finish. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, you know, later on. But yesterday, there was another race for a charity in town, Candle Wishes, and we all signed up to run. And that's a little bit different race because you had to do it as a family and in teams. And because my wife and my youngest son are fast, They formed their own team. And they got my, you know, sister-in-law, and they're probably a space for a couple other people. And then the slow people, me and Carl David and my dad. And we finished, and we were not last. And my son told me yesterday, he said, "Dad, you did very good." He said, "If you just run 2 minutes and 58 seconds faster, you can be on my team next year." But when we look through the scriptures, it talks about that race. It talks about our race in our Christ described as a race. When describing the Christian life and relating to it. And we're off, as someone put, we're off and running this marathon. And each sunrise present new challenges. And as we hurry along, and all the while we know that God has provided the path that we're supposed to take. But how exactly can we run in this race that's set before us? The Christian life, as life throws things at us. Thankfully, we're not left alone jogging in the dark. The author in Hebrews provide ways to keep us on the right track. As it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, that there are people set before us as a cloud of witness." If you have your Bible, it turns to Hebrews chapter 11. And not in any particular scripture, but we don't have time, but it talks about Abraham, talk about Moses, it talks about, you know, Elijah, it talks about David, it talks about Isaac, it talks about Jacob, it talks about Joseph, it talks about, you know, Rahab. And it talks about those people who we look at now and we say, they were great people of the faith. Look how God used them. You know, Paul says, great people of the faith. And yet, we do know their life. We do know that Abraham was a great man of faith, but he was far from perfect. He had things in his life that was hard, but he trusted in God. He lied to the Pharaoh in Egypt. Isaac, he was far from perfect. Jacob, far from perfect. Joseph, his life was hard, filled with a lot of struggles in his life, and he persevered. We look at David, the man after God's own heart, a man who was far from perfect, but who had faith in God and who loved God with all his heart, and God walked with him, and he finished. And like I said, he's known as a man after God's own heart. And then we can also add, you know, Peter and Paul to that list, and maybe several others that's in scriptures. Men who love God, but also stumble in their walk, and they stayed faithful. And as we sort of apply this to us today, who are people in your Christian walk, in your Christian race, that you can look up to? As I sort of might have mentioned before in the previous sermon, we all need a Paul in our life. We need someone that we can look to that has wisdom. We all need a Barnabas, someone who encourages us. And we all need a Timothy, someone that we can encourage along our life. Who in your life is there that is that great witness? People you can look up to and say, yes, I know life is hard, but they have stayed faithful. They have endured. You know, I think about my dad. He's one of my great witnesses that I can look at him and I can look at his life. I think of Cliff Sharp in Murfreesboro, and I think of even Ted Beatty, people I have looked up to, and I've seen them walk faithfully in the Lord. And again, that doesn't mean when you walk faithfully, it's a perfect life, because we all make mistakes. But people who love God, no matter what life throws at them, and try their hardest to do what God's want them to do. In Romans chapter 8, verse 13, For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. We have to be serious when we run this race. We have to look at ourselves and see what sin is hindering us from fully serving the Lord. Because the second point is that we are called to get rid of anything that hinders us. As I mentioned before, I run a lot. And one thing I will say, it is a lot easier for me to run in the summer than the winter. And I always have to try to work on my time to get back after I've sort of taken the winter off, because in the summertime, I wear shorts, shirts, socks, and tennis shoes. In the winter, when it's very cold, you know, I have to wear a hat, shorts, sweatpants, shirts, jacket, and it just, I run better when I run lighter. And so does most runners. And as the Christian life, we run the race when we turn things over to God. When we get rid of those things that hinder us. When we get rid of anger, bitterness, envy, hate, greed of all kinds, we all sin and we all fall short of the glory of God. I do. We all do. But we have to stop sinning and try to be like Jesus. When we release our sins and our struggles and our temptations to God, He will take care of us. What is it that we need to get rid of today? What is it that you need to get rid of? And it will be different for every person. Because as it, you know, says in James, that we will face temptations and trials of many kinds. But those trials and temptations may be different for me than they are for you. Because they're all different. And as it says in 1 Peter, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And that's why we have to be serious. And as we're running that race, and get rid of the things that might be a stumble block to us. And then one of the most important things is fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfect of faith. We have to glued our eyes upon Jesus, not just to look at, but to concentrate. Distractions can come from many kinds, and we live in a world where the world does not want us to do good, where there's a lot of negative and a lot of bad, and distractions can come in many forms, not just in the form of sins of many kinds, as we read earlier, but also in everyday life. I saw an email recently from Alan Smith, and he talks about one of the longest races in the world. And the longest race is 3,100 miles, long enough to stretch from New York to Los Angeles. But those who run it choose another route. They circle the city block in Queens for 2 months straight. And according to the article, the athletics lapped their blocks more than 3,100 miles, 5,000 times. They wear out 12 pairs of shoes, and they run more than 2 marathons daily. In the heat and rain of New York summer, they stop virtually for nothing except for sleep between midnight and 6 a.m. And I find it incredibly that someone can run that far for that long. But perhaps one of the things that I find more incredible that somebody can run that same half-mile stretch over and over and over again. Because I know I like, when I go running, I like to do a different route. I don't like to always do the same circle every time. But I thought of what, it's a great picture of what life is. We often talk about how the Christian life is like a race, as we've been talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, 2 Timothy 4, 7. And it's a long, long race. But I don't think we consider sometimes the difficulty in the race is not only in its length, but it's also in the everyday things that we do that seem repetitive. A Christian mother works hard to demonstrate her faith in taking care of her husband and children, but every day seems just like the day before. Things need to be changed, clothes need to be washed, dirty dishes to be cleaned, a house to be vacuumed and swept, the same thing over and over. A Christian father works hard to demonstrate his faith by providing for his family and living out his faith in the workplace, but every day seems just like the day before. Fighting traffic, working, doing the same job day after day, and working hard to please customers. One of the difficult things in living life, at the Christian life in particular, is hanging in there through those difficult times. When you feel like you're running across the same ground over and over and over again. And, you know, God has blessed me a lot, and I'm in, several prayer groups and several, small groups. And one of the things when we're having prayer time, and sometimes we'll all feel like, I know we mentioned it before, but can you pray for this? Can you pray for this? And we pray for it over and over, because it's the things that happen over and over that we need God's help with. And we need to be assured if we can survive the race and run to the finish line and keep the promise in our heart. As it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Give everything you got to the Lord. There's no shortcut in running the race that is set out before us. Running the Christian life, you know, to set our goal, because living a life with Christ is wonderful. It's hard, it's long, there are going to be struggles, but there's no shortcut. So yesterday we're running this race, and it's two laps or two loops around, and on the final lap, when there's about a mile left in the race, you can see across this field, and you can see the finish line. And at that particular time, I was running alongside my dad, and there was someone that was on the sidelines cheering, and I just sort of jokingly say, hey, can I just cut across that field? You know, that would just be a quarter-mile run compared to a mile run to the finish line. And they said, no, you know, I was joking. And they said, no, you got to do the whole lap. And so, you know, I continue on. There's no shortcut in the race. There's no shortcut in living like God calls us to live. You know, sometimes even as Christians, we'll try to see if we can find shortcuts. But there's no shortcuts in doing the Word of God. So how do we run this race? How do we finish this race? Well, one way, and my wife will probably disagree with me, not on the Christian part, but in the regular running race, is it's okay to walk. It's okay to go slow. You know, Scripture said, be still and know that I am God. And I'll talk a lot about that tonight a little bit, that we need to take time to rest. We need to take time to spend time with God. Because sometimes we can be too busy, even as Christians, too busy doing church that we forget to be the church. Sometimes we can get so busy in life that we forget to do what God tells us to do. And I don't know if this is a good example. And again, Rob did a great job this morning in Bible class. Really felt blessed to be there. But when I was sitting there, I did have this thought that came in. I forgot to have breakfast this morning. I got up and I was like, but you'll be happy to know, Sonny, that I had coffee. And so we're good. I've had several cups of coffee. Because I got up and said, okay, I need to look over my lesson, and I wanted to add, you know, some things to tonight. And this afternoon we had small group, and I was thinking about that lesson. And I just forgot to eat. Even though Maria said, "Have you eaten something?" I said, "I'll do it in a few minutes." I forgot until I was in Bible class, and I was like, "Oh, I forgot breakfast." And that's how life can be like sometimes too. That, you know, we want to have that closer relationship with God. We want to spend more time in prayer. Maybe we want to spend more time in our brothers and sisters to talk about life, to encourage us. But then we just don't find the time because we let ourselves get too busy. And then the next thing I want to talk about as we run the race, and as scriptures talk about this, and I let my wife look over my sermon last night, and the next thing I know, she enlarged these next words that I'm about to say and bolded, and she said, "I'm glad you're talking to yourself. Do not compare yourself to others." And that's the, one of the things when I'm in the race and I'm running or walking, especially like next week, because I'm running a race with a lot of people that I know, people like Ed Watson, my brothers. And the only thing I care about is making it to that finish line. And oftentimes in life, even in the Christian life, we can get so busy that we start comparing ourselves with one another. And that is a stumble block, like everything else that we sometimes compare. We sometimes look and say, "Look at that person. Their life is easy." Or, "Look at them. They're a super Christian. Things don't affect them like that." And the thing is, we're called to run our race with Jesus to the end. Not that I have already obtained all of this, not that I have arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that what Jesus Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do is forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Press on towards the goal to win the prize which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We're called to forget our life of sin. We're called, even as Christians, when we've been baptized and we live the Christian life, we're going to make mistakes, we're going to stumble, we're going to sin, but we keep our eyes upon God and go for that finish line and never give up. On a weekly basis, I go to several nursing homes, and a couple of years ago, I was at one particular nursing home in Murfreesboro, and I was doing a Bible study, and they were talking to me, and one of the things, just as a piece of advice, and I try not to do this, but I mean, just a piece of advice, never get into a scripture argument with an 80-year-old lady. Okay, it's just not worth it. But especially when several of them are talking among themselves. But one time, this lady, she was about 80, 85, I don't know how old she was. And she turned to me and she looked at me and said, "You know, I've been a Christian for a long time, probably over 50 years. And she said, "This is the first time I have struggled in my faith. This getting old is hard." And I'm thinking, you're so many years old, you've lived the Christian life all these years. You know, probably the finish line is in sight, and she's growing weary. And God tells us not to grow weary in our walk. Do what you have to do to keep refreshed, to keep on going, to live that life for Him. And then, talking about running the race, is one of the greatest gifts that God gives us is one another. It's the crowd that cheers us. The crowd that cheers us when we want to quit, when life gets hard, when we're struggling, cheers us on to the finish line. You need to have people in your life that you can talk to, that can encourage you, that you can encourage them, you know, as well. As someone once said, seeing the race that God set before us a lifelong marathon. We must commit ourselves to run to the very end. A daily regimen of prayer, worship, reading God's word, and examining our lives will help. We need to always try to be Christ-like in our attitudes and even in our mindset of trials, and continue to run that race which is set out before us. It's great to be here this morning, and if you are not a Christian and you want to make that commitment, I invite you as we stand and sing.